before we get started with the witness, there was one other scheduling item that I wanted to address with the parties, and that is I need to take an extended lunch break tomorrow. And so the lunch will be 2 hours from noon to 2. If you like, we can make up some time for the extra 45 minutes or so by starting at 8:30 on Thursday and or Friday.
Maybe Friday. Yeah, maybe we could decide that tomorrow, depending on how quickly we get through.
That's
that.
A flexible option.
We may shorten our case, even though you've said we may be able to shorten our case.
It's entirely up to you.
Yeah.
Right. So we can get another half hour on Thursday morning or Friday. We can accommodate that as soon as you pull the trigger on it. Just let me know.
Okay.
And we'll come in.
Does that work for you?
Yes, absolutely. Play it by ear. Yeah.
Ready for your...
I am, yes. I'd like to call Ken Erickson to the stand. Mr. Erickson.
Please state your name and spell it for the record.
Kenneth, K-E-N-N-E-T-H, Erickson, E-R-I-C-K-S-O-N.
And do you swear or affirm that the testimony you will provide in today's hearing will be the truth?
Yes.
Thank you.
Good afternoon, Mr. Erickson. Claudia Newman for the record. Thank you for being here today. We are aiming to wrap this up by 5. Let's see if we do what we can here. Can you tell us a little bit about what you do for a living to the extent that it's relevant to these proceedings?
Yes. I own Dauntless Security Group, which is a private security company. I work with key management employees and the actual employees and clients and do the day-to-day office work around the office.
Okay. What are some examples of work that you do that's relevant to the work that you're going to be describing about this case?
Working with clients and finding out what exactly their needs are and what they want, and then make sure that our security team understands what the client wants, what the goal is, and my job is to continue to go out and make sure that's happening.
Okay. And Dauntless Security was recently hired by Escala to do some work for them, is that right?
Yes, we were.
What were you hired to do on behalf of Escala?
Basically, we were hired to act as the dock master for all of the shipping, everything that came in, or not shipping, receiving, that came into the building, and basically control that alleyway. Our job was to contact every truck driver, every delivery driver, and explain to them what our protocols were, to check them in. They'd fill out a form with the date, license plate, number of the vehicle, length of the vehicle, and then had the driver sign in, and we asked them to use one of two of the loading bays that we had. So we have two loading bays, and they're supposed to.
So your goal was to make sure the bays were used.
Make sure the bays were used and the alleyway stayed clear, and so it could be operational for the full day.
All right, and. What time frame did you do this work? What was the time frame for this?
From 8 a.m. until 4 p.m., 5 days a week. And we started on December 2nd, and our last day was January 2nd. We did not work holidays, and we did not work the weekends.
Okay. And you had security guards assigned
yes,
there during
assigned
those
there. Yes.
Work days? All right.
Those
I would like to introduce, this is Pellett's Exhibit 105.
Marked as Exhibit 27.
Mr. Erickson, do you recognize this document that I've just handed you?
Yes, I do.
Can you describe for us what this is?
this is the daily log. When the security guards would come on, they would start their log, and every delivery driver that came in, they would log in what time they came in, the company that they were with, how large the vehicle was, and if or if it couldn't get into the loading bay area.
So looking at, say for example, the on the first page, Thursday, December 12th, 2019, 3:05 p.m., the second one on the list, does the time 3:05 p.m. represent when the car was present or arrived?
That would be pretty much when they arrived.
Okay. And then is what are the photos on the right-hand side for each of these logs supposed to represent?
That represents the delivery vehicle that came, mm-hmm. whether it was a delivery vehicle or a moving truck, could be anything, and where it parked.
Okay. So you're basically providing an image of the actual
vehicle
that was checked in.
Right, and if some of them had to stay out in the alleyway just because of the size, or they didn't want to.
Okay.
Back in it.
I'd like to offer Exhibit 27 into the record.
Any objection?
No objection.
Exhibit 27 is admitted.
Now, you said you were tasked with overseeing access to the loading berths for deliveries and making sure the bays were used and used properly and attempting to make sure the alley was not completely blocked at any time. Is that right?
Yes.
How did that go?
It was very busy. It was an exhausting job. At the end of the day, they were always pretty spent. They spent their days talking with the truck drivers, trying to get them to comply and conform with what we were asking. Whenever I came down, and I came down on many occasions, and that was to pass along information that I would get from the board and from the management there, saying this is what we're looking for, this is exactly what we need, this is how it needs to be done. So I would come down and try to get a moment aside with the security guard and say, this is what we did yesterday, this went well, this part didn't, that's going to change this up a little bit. But it seemed every time, literally every time I came in, it wouldn't be more than, not even get a minute, and then we'd have another truck coming up, and we would go down, deal with the new truck, and many times while we were dealing with that truck driver, and we're trying to get them signed in, another one just pulls in, jumps out, and starts unloading things. Now we have the entire alleyway blocked. It was hard to get information passed down, and a lot of the problem with the when I was explaining protocols to the security guards, and then we'd have the truck drivers coming in, many of the truck drivers disregarded what we were saying in the alley, and many didn't speak English, or they had a limited amount of English. And I think it got worse once we told them what we wanted, what our goals were, for them to back up and go into the bay, and their goal was just to unload this as quickly as possible so they could get to their next round. And we understood that, but it was the same drivers over and over, the same Amazon drivers, the same UPS drivers, and we got to know them a little bit. So our goal was to educate them, say, we're going to have the same problem tomorrow, so let's just do it this way, come in, check in, back your vehicle in to one of the loading bays, and then we'll take it from there.
So even though you were trying to get them to use the loading bays, they were disregarding what you were asking them to do and parking in the alley?
Most of the time, that's what they wanted to do. And a lot of times also the loading bays were already full. We had, most of the time actually, there was either vehicles that were in there for making a delivery, or we had service vehicles that were coming to deliver appliances, installation of hardwood floors, refrigerators, washers, dryers. California Kitchen was our California Closet was a company that came in, and they were pretty amazing. But they were there the entire day
in the bay.
So it was started at 8 in the morning, and they weren't done until whenever they were done, and maybe even after we left. They would come down. They would have a table saw. It would be a Sprinter van, and it had a built-in table saw in there, and they had all the wood. And they were actually designing custom closets for these homes, and they would go down, and they would be cutting all the pieces to perfect size, and then they would bring their equipment up on a dolly, and then they would be gone for an hour, and then they would come back and start up again with the next section.
Were there times when there were one or two vehicles in the bays, like you were just describing, not leaving for several hours, that resulted in other trucks having to park in the alley because they couldn't use the bay?
Absolutely. That happened.
That often?
That was often. That would happen. And once the bays were filled up, then we had so much of the alley. And they also, the trucks came in from both the north and the south side, so there was not any real direction. And depending on the size of the trucks, if we had a larger truck, that would just completely block the alley. Nobody was going to get around or get through, or where they chose to park their vehicle. And when they parked their vehicles, they would park the vehicle very quickly and jump out, and now they're opening up the back, and they're trying to just get unloaded, as you know, from start to finish is very, very quick. They've been here before. They just want to, you know, get the job done.
So they would be parked in the alley when
they would
you're
be parked in the alley, yes.
And
if we did have room in the loading bays, we would articulate to them and explain what we wanted them to do, and depending on which way they came in from, then we could have them, you know, pull forward, back up. But they would generally go northbound through the alley and then back up and start turning to get into the bay.
Hmm.
Now, if it was a small enough truck, they were able to generally get around and do this. Once they backed up all the way to the back, then they had a hydraulic lift on the back. Many of them had a hydraulic lift on the back. And once that comes down, now that's going to take up an extra 5 to 8 more feet once that's fully down. So we may have a 225-foot bays, but once you take that out, that's going to take and make a 20-foot truck into something that's not going to fit.
And so were the trucks, I don't know if you can quantify this, but if you can try to quantify how often trucks were not fitting into the bay and were actually sticking out into the alley despite the fact that they were parked in the loading bay. Can you talk about that a little bit?
Most of the trucks were sticking out a little bit to the point, I mean, even the smaller trucks, and if they had and most did have hydraulic tailgates, lifts in the back, which put them out just a few feet.
Mm-hmm.
And that's a smaller truck.
Mm-hmm.
Now if we had a 35-foot truck, then we had the tailgate lift on that one, then it's going to be halfway out into the...
And when you say a few feet with a smaller truck, you're saying they were into the right-of-way off
right.
of the Escala property a few feet.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. And at no point could we close the door either. You know, closing
the loading dock.
The complete door.
Yeah.
There's also... We have a large transient population that travels through the alleyway.
Tell me about that a little more.
Preferred way. It's like there's plenty of sidewalks, but they always find the alleyway. And that's constant. And that's why we're also, as security, we're watching, because they could slide in at any point.
Okay.
And many times we're blocked as far as our view, because we're talking with one of the truck drivers, delivery people, and you can't see through the truck to the other side. That's because the whole thing is open once you open up the garage.
So you said your security guard, that's your, what your company does.
Yes.
And so I want to get a picture of how a truck driver, you know, how hard you try to get the truck driver to follow the rules from the, you know, from the point of view of being a security guard who's telling people to follow the rules. Did they disregarded you despite your explicit request that they park in the loading bay?
They did. At the beginning, it was security was trying to be, use a lot of customer service and be very polite and
mm-hmm.
nice and try to make them understand. But in all of doing that, there was a very good chance we're going to have a second truck come in
mm-hmm.
and we're going to lose control. So that was one of the reasons I came down, was just to up the, not aggression, but the just being very forward and explaining directly what needs to be done, and whether it's if they can't get into the loading bay, then they can't get into the loading bay,
right.
And there's nothing we can do about that.
Right.
Or if we already had two trucks there, what our goal was to control the alley and ensure that the alley had access, you know, in out the entire time we were there. So
okay.
That's just watching where they're coming in, telling them where to park, quickly coming out, getting their company name, their name, how many foot is the truck, and then having them sign in on the top sheet there. There's an example of it.
And how do the trucks enter the loading bays at the Escala? What's the technique they use?
If they came in from the south and were heading northbound through the...
So that's coming from Virginia.
Yes.
I'm sorry, Stewart.
Stewart.
And heading towards Virginia.
Yes.
If they came in that way.
Came in that way, then they're just going to go just past the loading docks,
mm-hmm.
and then they're going to start making their turn into the loading bay.
Okay.
Now, if the vehicle was a 35-foot truck, for example, that wasn't going to happen, because they would end up coming too close to hitting the building on the other side before they could swing it all the
okay.
way around.
Okay. And so what if they came in from the Virginia side? How would they get in to the loading bay?
Yeah, for the Virginia side, they would have to go back in.
It's more difficult.
Yeah. Yeah. Yes.
Okay, because they...
Because the bays
the
are angled.
And is there a limit that you're aware of that Escala has on the size of trucks that can use their loading bay?
I'm not sure.
You don't
personally,
know.
I really don't know what the exact limit is. The better the driver, better chance.
So did you notice a difference between skilled drivers and
absolutely.
Non-skilled? What
yes.
was that? Tell me a little bit about that.
Skilled driver was very confident. They knew exactly how long their truck was. They knew exactly how much bed they had, how much storage, and they were a professional driver. They did
right.
some amazing things, and I was even in.
And did you keep track of, on the daily logs, is there any indication for us to know how many of the drivers were skilled versus how many of them were unlicensed or beginners, or
no.
do we don't know. Okay. Do you have any way to quantify that? How often you had unskilled drivers driving trucks?
I think it had to have been often, because I saw a lot of close calls and people that should have been able to get into the bay, who just said, I don't want to hurt this truck.
Oh, yeah. They're worried about damage to
yes.
the truck.
Yeah. And so then they're saying more, my job is just to drop this off and put it here and then I'm done.
Right. Okay. I don't have any more questions, I don't believe, unless, yeah, I think we've covered all. Thank you very much.
Thank you. You're still with us, Ms. Erickson.
Sorry
about that.
Cross.
I'll wait till you tell me.
I should have clarified that for you.
I should have known.
Yep.
Good afternoon, Mr.
Erickson.
I'm Courtney Kaler. I'm representing the applicant, and I have just a few follow-up questions to be sure I understand what it is that you did and what you're testifying about here today. So first, just so that I understand what your company does, you're a security group, correct? And so what typically does your company do for people?
We generally we work for commercial and residential properties, and generally we lock buildings. We're a crime deterrent. We respond to alarm calls. We respond to suspicious person calls, burglaries, shoplifting, petty theft. Just a wide variety of different divisions. But that's a lot of what we do revolves around crime and keeping property and people safe.
Okay, great, thanks. That's helpful. And so in this case, being a dock master, is that unusual for you?
No. And it's not something that we specialize in.
Okay.
We've done it before. It's usually controlling where we have more than one, maybe multiple security people, where we'll have a guard shack, and they'll be coming into a large, like USF Redaway, for example, where there's, constantly trucks coming through, and we're checking in large semi-trucks, and they're dropping off their loads and then picking up empty trailer and going on and just documenting what's going on for the 12 to 24 hours a day.
Okay. So how many times have you been a dock master before?
Three
times? Okay.
Three different contracts.
Three contracts.
Held.
Okay. And so you mentioned the, UNSF, is that?
USF Redaway.
USF Railway, okay.
Yeah. Redaway.
Redway, and it sounds like that was a very large facility with commercial trucks.
Yes, that was a commercial facility with large trucks. The shipping and receiving company, I believe that's all they do.
Okay, thank you. And so that's one. What was the second one that you were a dock master for?
Mack.
Okay.
Benton.
And what's, is that also a large commercial facility? What is that?
They make Mack trucks, the large semi-trucks.
And so were you then recording large semi-trucks
coming in and out
of the manufacturing facility?
Who was coming and who was going and what they were bringing in, lots of supplies and things like that.
Okay. And so is this the third one, the Escala?
Yes.
Okay. So let's see here, and it looks like just looking through
the same. We do the same thing with public events also. So any type of special events where we're monitoring traffic coming and going. Again, we're gonna have vendors coming and going into any type of a fair or an event. And again, that's something that we do constantly. That's to ongoing. It's the same principles apply to that, which we do all the time, which would apply to something like this at Escala.
All right. But no other, you haven't done this for any other residential properties. Okay. Have you ever done this before where access was from an alley to the property?
Spent a lot of time in alley.
Well, yes, I won't ask what you guys are doing there. Let's see here. So it looks to me from these daily activity reports like you guys were there, and you may already have given the dates. I apologize if I missed that. But
December 2nd through January 2nd, Monday through Friday, and we did not work Christmas or New Year's Day.
Okay. Just so that 1 month.
Just to clarify, was that December 2nd, 2018, and January
2020? So 2019,
okay,
through 2020
for the 1 month.
And so, just to clarify, that's a 1 month period of time, right?
Basically, yeah.
Okay. The 1 month period of time that falls over the Christmas.
Yes.
Season. Yeah. Okay. And had you done this work previously for Estella before the beginning of January last year?
No, we were talking with Escala about providing security at night, both a guard or implementing our patrol, which would just be emergency response, and then checking through the building every night.
Okay. But the stock management you hadn't done then before December?
For Escala, no.
For Escala, yes. And you stopped that activity then January 2nd of this year, is that right?
Yes.
And you haven't done it since then at Escala?
No, we've done work for them, but not, we've done security work at night for them.
Okay. And so as part of this dock management work that you did for Escala, did you have any advance communication with the companies that were sending these delivery drivers? Okay. Did you have any direct communication? Let me rephrase that. Who were you talking with at Escala about this contract?
Michael.
Do you know who Mike was? The manager? He's the building manager. Okay. Great.
Facilities.
Okay. Did you talk with any individual residents about their deliveries? Okay. Did you contact any of these, the vendors or the truck drivers themselves in advance of them showing up on site?
Many of these deliveries were Amazon, FedEx, just many different delivery companies.
Sure.
I mean, we wouldn't even know. I mean, they come as they come.
Yeah, all right. Do you have any personal knowledge of communications that occurred between the people who are ordering these things that are coming and those vendors? Okay. So as you were doing this this work here, did you have a person physically present in the dock throughout the day?
Yes.
Okay. And did you have one person or more than one?
One.
Okay. And just kind of circling back on my prior question about the residents. Do you know whether building management requires folks to schedule their deliveries? Do you have
I
any information? You don't know. Yeah, that's fine. You said something, and I didn't quite understand what you said. You said it was hard to get information passed down. Do you remember saying that?
It was, what I meant by that was, it was hard to get the time. If I was just going to come out during the workday and stop by at any random time to actually get their attention and sit down for a 15-minute period. That didn't seem to go very well, because it was constantly busy. We were getting deliveries during that time.
So you were just talking about it was hard for you to communicate
right.
with your employees.
Right.
Is that what you're talking
yeah.
about? Okay.
Just, yeah. And that's what I was seeing was that it was much busier than I thought it would be.
Okay.
And I changed that later and just did it after work, after they left. That's when we met.
Okay. So, did you ever see anyone refuse delivery during that time when you were there, or attempt to refuse delivery?
Somebody who was
purchasing one of these items that are being delivered. Did you ever see anybody attempt to refuse delivery while you were there?
No.
Okay. I just want to make sure I understand the information here in this report. Did you generate these reports? Did one of your employees generate one of these reports?
Yes, they were the ones that were there.
Okay, excellent.
I better not
Looks
be doing
like,
it.
Yeah. I'm just reading through them, and I'm not seeing that the size of the trucks or other vehicles were recorded. Is that correct? Did you guys not record the size of the vehicles?
On the we had a form that Escala provided for us.
Okay.
It was just the check-in form, which had the date, the delivery, driver's information, and that's where they put the size of the vehicle. So on the number one on the top page of the report, to the left, you can see what it looks like. And I did not bring one with me.
So you gathered data on the length of the vehicle for each delivery, and I do
Yeah, I don't think it was all of them, but most were on there.
Okay, and I do see in a couple pages the length is noted. Where you gathered the information about the length, would it then be reflected in the typed up message here in the
Sometimes
middle column?
Sometimes they put it in, I believe, but I haven't studied this enough to actually know exactly what's in each one.
So sometimes it's in there, sometimes
right.
sometimes no. Do you know how long the loading berths are at Escala?
25 feet.
Okay, do you know how wide they are?
I do not.
Are there bollards at the back of their loading bays?
Yes.
Okay. You indicated in your testimony that you weren't sure if Escala had a limit on the size of the trucks. So did you and your staff communicate to drivers, we require that you have a certain size truck, only to a certain size truck? For those skilled drivers, they did some amazing things.
They did a few.
What'd they do?
They just.
It's the afternoon in this hearing. We have to have some interest here. This is the most interesting part of the day. Okay.
I wish I could. There's lots of stories I could tell you about things that we see and do. But this, when you have a large truck and you're talking about when you approach the driver and you talk to him and he knows exactly how wide his truck is and how long it is, and he knows exactly what it weighs, or thinks he knows exactly what it weighs. It is impressive. And then when he pulls straight up, and he's just far enough to the left because he's going to have to go back up and then swing it out, and he just goes right in. It's like backing up a boat at a boat launch. People are clapping when I do that. It's very good. Yes, we did have some good ones. That there were no mistakes. There was no hesitance, and they quickly went in, or they knew right away from looking at our berth and the dock, saying, this is not going to work. I'm going to pull up as close as I can to the right side, get out. I'm going to get this done, and we'll be out of here. And they're just done. And that's impressive.
Okay, thank you. And with that, I think that's all the questions I have for you.
Yes, thank you. I just have a few questions. Mr. Erickson, did I understand your testimony correctly that you indicated that after a while you saw some of the same drivers again and again?
A couple of the same drivers, yes.
Okay. When you spoke with these drivers, after the first or second time, then did they understand what you were looking for as far as using the berths and backing
into
them?
Some did.
Yeah.
Some did, yes.
Okay. Let's see. I'm going to ask you to look at page 12 of this is Exhibit 27. This is the report that was prepared.
And there's multiple pagination I've noticed.
Okay. Well,
that's a little bit funky.
Okay, let's do that. Let me get down to where I'm going with the page.
All of 33?
And somehow.
It's page 12 if you were just counting.
Oh, just counting.
Chronologically,
okay.
But let me just see if I can give you some indication. It's December 2nd, 2019, and it actually at the bottom, you're right, there are multiple. It's page 7 of 33, but the photograph was taken on December 2nd, Monday, December 2nd. The photograph is at the very bottom of the page, and it was taken at 2:41.
Okay, so, yeah, I don't think our pages are lined up quite the same. So
that would be the sixth page of your packet, I believe.
You're good.
And there are multiple.
You said page 7 of 33, and
yep.
It's December 2nd?
Yep, exactly, at 2:41 p.m. And there are other examples in this report as well, but I just wanted you to identify. You indicated in your testimony that there were bollards. Can you identify the bollards in the picture?
Posts coming out of the ground, out of the concrete.
Okay, and are they painted a color?
Yellow.
Okay, thank you. So those things that are sticking up, poles, are identified as bollards.
Yeah, just so if they were to gun it and go backwards, and they're not going to hit the building, it might save somebody. I think that's the whole idea of them.
Yeah, okay. And then I also see some, can you identify the painting on the ground? What is that?
That would be the area in which they would like to keep the truck within that area.
Okay. And do you know where those bollards are located? How far in from the right-of-way in the alley?
I don't know how far in they are, no.
Okay.
I would say anything. Yeah.
Okay. That's it. I don't have any other questions. Thank you.
Thank you.
Redirect?
Just a few. When you were talking about your experience and whether you'd been a dockmaster in the past, you said the same principles apply to this as other jobs that you've done. Can you elaborate on what those principles are?
Principle would be taking the information down for the driver, the description of the vehicle,
mm-hmm.
license plate, logging, you know, that in with the time, and then explaining somebody where they're going to go, where they're going to end up parking, and or any other rules that may apply to their visit while they're at our site.
And do you have experience telling people, instructing people on following rules and regulations generally beyond just as a dock master?
Yes.
And you roll your eyes, which makes me think the way you say it.
Of course.
Is it extensive?
My experience doing
your experience it? Doing that?
Absolutely. Yes. I've done that
for how many years?
34 years.
34 years. And is that kind of maybe one of the top duties of your work?
The top duty, communicating with people and explaining what we need to see from them.
Based on rules and regulations?
Absolutely.
Okay. And you said there were some really good, very skilled drivers that you saw. Was this something that you saw, you know, once or twice over the whole over the whole 5-week period?
Yes, because those ones were very.
There's just one or two.
One or two
over the whole. Okay.
From what I saw. Yes.
There were some drivers you saw over and over again, and you said some of them knew what the rules were and would follow them. Did it all work where the drivers you told the rules consistently then suddenly followed the rules for the entire month? That was really poorly asked. Do you understand the point?
I understand what you're saying. I don't know the true answer to that.
Okay.
If they actually did. I did hear by talking with both Tim and Garrett.
Mm-hmm. The security guards
yes.
that worked for you?
Yes.
Okay.
And they were the primaries there. And they said there were a few guys that started complying, and they just came in and did the right thing. But it was only a few.
So some still continued to not comply?
Correct. And okay. their goal was just to get their job done as quickly as possible. Like any other customer service,
yeah.
you get $19.30 an hour to work for Amazon. They're
right.
advertising that constantly, and these are the people you'll get.
Okay. I have no further questions. Thanks.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much.
And just for clarity in the record, there was a reference in Exhibit 27 to a particular page. It's clear enough in the record that there are yellow ballers and markings, but I the photo may or may not be in this set that I have, but it sounded like it was reference to a page for December 2nd.
Correct.
I have not yet found any December 2nd printings in this packet that I have, so.
That concerns me. Can I?
It's not in chronological order either.
Mine is also not in chronological order. It starts December 12th, but then it moves on to December 2nd
okay.
and 3rd.
Mine
in
hops
here.
All over, but I'm not sure.
It's in
it
here.
Could be embedded in there
it's
somewhere.
In, yeah.
Can you
it's
maybe
just confusing
thumb it
because
where it is?
No, you want me to